All right, we'll go ahead and start. Welcome everyone again to the AIRN Liquidation Trust Town Hall, October 8th, 2025. Again, thank you all for joining. Some people are still joining, but we'll go ahead and start. With us today, we have, of course, a representative of the Liquidation Trustee, Matthew Ward. Also from AIRN Management, we have Rick Budd and Tommy Fierro. And from Ice Miller, you have myself, Louis DeLucia, and Michael Ott. And we will have representatives of the advisory board probably listening in, not participating, but listening in. And we may as well have some Alvarez and Marcel financial advisors on as well, and possibly Rick Barry. But in any event, we have a full agenda ahead of us. Mike, you want to turn the next page to the agenda? Thanks. It's going to follow the same format as we have in the prior calls. Some things have evolved and changed, some developments and also some things that have remained the same. We will be starting with the tax update. So we'll turn the floor over to Tommy Fierro for as CFO.
Mike, I'm not sure if I'm not seeing it on my screen or if the presentation just isn't up right now.
I can see it.
It's being shared right now. Yeah. You can't see
it. I cannot for some reason, but I will.
I'm sharing. I don't know what else. I'm sharing my screen, so I don't know what else.
Yeah, I'll pull it up on my end. No problem.
Okay.
So I guess generally, you know, the first order of business with respect to the tax, you know, reporting is that we always need to kind of forewarn everyone that, you know, the trust and its, you know, representatives and or advisors are not able to provide individualized tax advice to any investors. Right? Anything stated on this call is not meant to be construed as individual tax advice, and we are always going to urge you to consult directly with your personal tax advisors anytime you receive any sort of tax documents. Obviously, the tax deadline is upon us. Effective August 2023, the tax documents you receive from the company will be in the form of grantor letters, which are the tax documents that get reported from a trust, as opposed to the K-1s that you historically received, which are the documents that get circulated from a partnership. The 2024 grantor letters have been mailed out and are now available electronically. If you wish to receive a copy electronically, please contact us at info@airnmanagement.com. That is a new address. Historically, it was info@nria.net. So I'm going to repeat that again. It's info@airnmanagement.com. And we'll respond to those emails as soon as possible. When you receive your documents, your 2024 tax documents, there will be two versions. There is one document that contains your federal and New York State grantor letters, and a second document that contains your New Jersey grantor letter. When you receive these documents, please refer to the instructions and footnotes on pages 2 and 3 of the grantor letter and discuss them with your tax advisors. New line items in 2024 include a line that shows your share of the settlement and recovery proceeds that the trust has secured and recovered in 2024, as well as cash distributions that were made to you in 2024. Right, this will represent the actual amount that you were received in the 10% you received in 2024. Obviously, the 12% distribution that was just made in August will not be reflected on this document. That'll be picked up in the 2025 tax year. The settlement and recovery proceeds are simply, you know, your portion based on the total amount received by the trust and allocated to you pro rata based on the size of your investment. It's very important that you discuss these two items with your personal tax advisors. They are new disclosures, and they are items that need to be calculated at the beneficiary level. So they will need to be reviewed by your tax accountant and will impact whether or not there is any taxable income or loss, you know, if any, that's applicable to your return. With respect to the 2021 and 2022 AARs, or the amendments of the prior documents, those are, you know, being finalized, you know, as we speak. Once we get through the next week or so where the, you know, everyone has their grantor letters and everyone's okay on that front, we will begin, you know, preparing to distribute the 2021 and 2022 AARs as well. Those documents are going to be less time sensitive. They are, because they're being distributed in 2025, they will be recorded on your personal 2025 tax returns that are going to be due later in 2026. There again, so that will not trigger any sort of amendment on your prior year returns. You'll receive that. You'll discuss with your tax advisors. Again, if you have any questions, please contact us, info@airnmanagement.com. We'll get you your documents as soon as possible. If at all possible, to the extent you can, if you would please include your partner ID number in connection with your request, it helps us track those down a little bit quicker and be more expeditious in responding to you. Those can be found in the PDF title of what you received in 2023, and also in the federal footnote section of those forms. You'll see a 1-4 digit number next to your name. So if you could please include that would help us getting back to you quickly. That's all we have on the taxes. Thanks, everyone.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes, great. Yes, Rick. Thank you so much. Go ahead with the real estate debate. Thank you.
It's always difficult to follow a tax presentation, but I'm going to try.
They're always riveting.
Anyway, thanks, Tommy.
Yep.
Anyway, our good to speak to everyone this evening. The only change on this page, which you've seen before in prior town halls, is that we now have a LinkedIn site. And the purpose is really to provide people an alternative or an option to see updated photos from construction sites, to the extent we have financing, sometimes sales, that will get posted on there. So it's information for people that you probably have heard about in one way or the other, but it's an ability for you to, see it, and we try to keep it as up to date as possible now. So if you have any questions, you know, reach out to us, and we'll, like I say, we'll try to keep it as updated as possible. Next slide. So this is our table of contents. We can go to the next slide. This is our asset summary of the sites that we're going to go over. No changes there. We still have 2,600 apartments approved in the various, between Florida and Pennsylvania and New Jersey. So let's go to the specifics in the next slide. Okay, so the station, right, as you recall, is completed. We are up at about 96% leased. We're working with CBRE to get the property into the market sometime this quarter.
Hey, Rick, could I just, I'm sorry if I could jump in here. I hate to interrupt, but there's a couple people that aren't seeing the slides. I'm wondering, Mike, is it possible to just unshare and then reshare and see if that fixes the issue? I'm just wondering. I've seen from two people have said that they can't get it. So we're gonna stop it and reshare it, and hopefully that fixes the problem. And if not, I apologize for that.
Can you see it now?
So if you can't see it anymore, just let us know in the meeting notes, and we'll see if we can do something. But we're gonna go ahead and proceed. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm still getting a loading icon, for whatever it's worth, to the extent that other investors are having the same issue that I'm having. But I'm still not seeing it. I don't need to, but you know, just FYI.
Okay.
There does seem to be a problem. Most people are not seeing it, according to the. At least one or two people on the side there.
Yeah, the I'm in the WebEx app. I'm not actually through the WebEx over the internet, and I can see them just fine.
I'm on the internet version. That could be the distinguishment.
I'm on the internet version, but I can see them. But
me too.
Well, I apologize. We can post the real estate slides, as I think we've done in the past, to the website, so people can see the real estate slides on the Omni website. They will be posted to there, but unfortunately, we do we do have to continue to move forward, but I'm sorry that didn't fix it.
Okay. Hopefully that gets worked out. So back to the station, which is our site on Bergenline Avenue in West New York, 96% leased. We are working with CBRE to have that offering memorandum in the market this quarter. We would look to have a sale closing sometime in, you know, hopefully fall, spring of 2026. Of course, depending on market conditions, so we won't know till we get there. Our retail grocer still is attempting, or believe, trying to open by Thanksgiving. That'll be a significant boost, as CBRE's advised us and other potential buyers, to see that open, finalized and open. So we'll keep you posted as to where we are here. The website is listed when you can see it. So we welcome you to check out the site and see the building. It looks great. Next slide. The Grand is also a completed building. We're about 53% leased here. The leasing's been going well. The building is well accepted. We have we would anticipate to probably get stabilized sometime towards the end of next year, with another 70 plus units to still lease. We have existing debt on the building of $16 million. So we'll be refinancing that by the end of the year to take advantage of some lower rates. But things are going well here. The intention is to get this fully stabilized and be in the market. And we're probably, looking at a sale process sometime in probably in 2027, late 26 or early 27. Next site. This is our one remaining condo unit in Delray, the 1070. It's listed with Compass. So the website is there. Anybody wants to check it out in detail. We're working with Compass to sell. We're also working with them to rent for seasonal rentals. So that's in the market now. We have a few cleanup items to do to get it ready to rent. But again, simultaneously. So we're not taking it off the market. We're just trying to take the opportunity to create some additional income from rental while we're waiting for a sale and hopefully a better market down in that area. Next slide, please. So the Metro, we are under construction here. Our site work started earlier in the spring. Our concrete foundation work started in July. We expect to have the podium completed by January. We have our crane ready to go. That was just this week, as a matter of fact. And we're the GC construction scheduled to finish the building in October 2027. Of course, then we would lease up the building and go to market. So you're probably looking at a 2029, 2030 sale and exit. We still have not selected a construction lender yet. We had numerous offers to come in to assist us. We've selected someone we're in diligence with. Hopefully that gets finalized and we can share that with you hopefully by the time of the next town hall. But we're excited about the opportunity here and about the market and the acceptance that we're getting next door at the Grand. And this is going to be a mirror image, the same building. next Philadelphia. This is our project there. We have, you know, three phases. We're working on the first phase, which is 350 apartments. So we're doing site work basically to raise the grade so that we will not have to be on a floodplain. That'll save us a significant amount of money from flood insurance because we are on the river. So again, we have term sheets for financing, both from a senior standpoint, senior construction lender standpoint, and also from a what they call a PACE lender. It's a relatively new sort of financing, commercial property assessed clean energy, but it's an ability to attract very long-term, lower rate capital tied to three-year treasury bills. So it's very exciting, and it's very very helpful when you're doing new construction. It's basically applicable for new construction. So again, we'll have more updates on that as we're working through the groundwork there. We have our building permits in hand. We have two other phases, right? Phase two and phase three. There's no development planned on those phases at the present time. We are ready to go to the next slide. This is our site location, which we leave in here because we think it's so instrumental to what we think is going to be the long-term success of the property. As you can see, where it's located up on the river, but the proximity to the sports complex within 2 miles and the development that's going to be going on there with Hines and Comcast, as well as the Philadelphia Navy Yard. We think we're in a super location. Next slide, please. So we're in Fort Myers. Our marina construction is well underway. If you can see the slides, you'll see the pictures. If you don't, you'll be able to see updates on the LinkedIn site that we mentioned a little bit earlier. But right now, our construction is moving along. Still, the anticipated completion date is end of Q1 2026. So we're optimistic. We're working again with CBRE in Florida here on this, and then the Upland site, which we'll discuss in a couple minutes. So CBRE has had significant interest in the marina. Most people want to see it completed, which is understandable. But they're going back in history from back in Hurricane Ian, there was a lot of destroyed marinas on the west coast of Florida. And this is one of the few, if only, that's actually being rebuilt. So we're also rebuilding it. We don't have debt here at the moment. So we're very excited about this. If it's finished in first quarter 26 or so, then it'll almost be like a lease up of an apartment building while we end up renting out the slips. But we think that, by within a year or 27, sometime in 27, we'll be in good shape from a demonstrable cash flow ability. And so we'd be looking at a sale, absent something premature, looking at a sale sometime probably in 28 or so. Next, and there's also a website dedicated to the marina too. So if you have time, you can check out and keep up with the progress there, the fmllegacyharbor.com. Sorry about that. Next slide. So Guttenberg, we have our developers agreement. We completed the demo. Again, if you could see the pictures, you would see clean lots there. You'll see these posted in LinkedIn as well. So the site is ready to go. The asbestos has been removed. We're working with the architect to see what value engineering could be done to see if it's going to make sense to build here. We don't know just yet whether we would be willing to recommend that going forward. But in the meantime, we have a clean site, which recall, not such ancient history. We had a buyer for this site, and there was a lot of discussion about asbestos and credits and escrows. And anyway, we now have a clean site. Absent a decision to build condos or apartments in this very densely populated area. So we do believe they'll be successful, but absent that, we'll go back to market and sell it just as existing land. Next slide. So we're back to Fort Myers. So the Upland piece, again, we are in the market with CBRE. They're very early. They have about 80 confidentiality agreements signed by various parties that would look to either potentially buy or to JV. You always get a number of tire kickers that like to collect offering memorandum, but we have had discussions with a couple people. We're meeting with one group the week after next to have some existing sites in Fort Myers. So we'll see. Like I say, it could be a sale. It could be a joint venture opportunity where CBRE is looking for both. We also have the restaurant, which was vacated after Landry's bought out the remaining time on their lease. So we're working with local brokers there. We have, I think, 8 different parties interested in opening a new restaurant in the area. So we're finishing up that beauty contest, and we'll select somebody. Our guess would be that by the time we select the right party, negotiate the lease, they get their permits, they do their work, it's probably 9 months before the restaurant would open. But it's a great opportunity for somebody to step in where there's going to be a marina opening next year, and where there's potentially several hundred units opening up behind them. So it's a great opportunity. We hope to extract the right value from the restaurant lease for that opportunity. Next slide. So Fort Lauderdale, our North Tower and South Tower, both approvals in hand. The North Tower was the more recent one in June, waiting after we got the FAA approval. Both parcels being marketed by Berger Commercial Realty, a well-known commercial broker in the South Florida area. Again, looking for sale. There have not been a lot of sales in the Fort Lauderdale area, in this area. Everyone down there waiting for rates. So we got one rate cut. As we all know, we're promised more. But we're actively involved with the property for sale or joint venture developer. I think that's it. Always, again, any questions, always feel free to reach out to us. We're happy to discuss it and enjoy discussing these projects with you.
Terrific. Thank you, Rick. Now we have the litigation update. Mike, you want to take the first point there?
Notice of satisfied claims. We recently filed a notice of satisfied claims related to a number of different claims that we have settled that were subject to objections. We settled on various grounds. Some involved walkways, some involved reduced amounts. The way we've been taking care of them is by filing a notice of satisfied claims. We only have a few outstanding unsecured claims remaining that aren't currently in litigation with the defendant. So for example, Brian Harrington and whatnot and other insiders have some claims. Those are currently getting litigated. Those will take some time to get resolved. But with respect to the non-litigation claims, for the most part, they're resolved or near resolved at this point. So that is the notice of satisfied claims, Lewis.
Thanks, Mike. All right, so in terms of the liquidation trust and the motion, these are certain of the important filings. We're going to get into a little bit more detail in the other slides, but let me state preliminarily that virtually all of these matters we'll be discussing, and I've said this before, are either in active litigation or are in sensitive confidential negotiations or are in mediation. We have several participants, well over nearly 100, you know, investors and or people calling in to this town hall. Many times we know this for a fact that they obtain these recordings, meaning the defendants in many of our litigations obtain these recordings, listen in. We cannot divulge litigation strategies. We cannot divulge a great deal about what may be happening in those litigations from our perspective, because of the fact that they're listening in and can twist it before the court or use it in some way. So with that, it's going to be some, again, global and somewhat high level summary of these litigations, except what is in public forums. All right. So liquidation trust motion to dismiss McPhillan counterclaims. McPhillan is a defendant in the U.S. construction litigation. I'll give an update about that in a little bit more. We gave some update earlier, but now we'll give a little bit more. That defendant, McPhillan, brought counterclaims against the trust, which we believe are meritless. We brought a motion to dismiss those claims, and the court granted some and denied some of our part of our motion. So some of those counterclaims will survive. They will be resolved through the litigation. But all of our affirmative claims against McPhillan, who we believe participated, as is alleged in the complaint, in real estate transactions, largely in Florida and Philadelphia, that benefited him and did not benefit the investors, we have that claim pending and being pursued. So that is ongoing, but that decision was recently made. In terms of our motions, there are motions to dismiss our complaints against Valley Bank, Bank of America, and Deepit Anand. They're at various different stages of litigation. The Bank of America litigation, motion to dismiss by Bank of America to dismiss our complaint against them, was argued for several hours yesterday before Judge Sherwood, October 7th. And it was a robust argument. They are represented by Davis Polk. And their principal argument, as is one of the principal arguments by Valley Bank on their motion to dismiss, is that the trust lacks standing to, meaning the authority essentially, to pursue the claims on behalf of or in the name of the contributing investors. We argue that Judge Sherwood has already opined in prior and other adversary proceedings, lawsuits that we brought, that we do have that standing, but they still brought it, asked the court to reconsider, and the judge and we argued that yesterday. The judge has asked us for certain supplemental filings in connection with the bank's actual knowledge regarding this fraud, and that will be filed next Tuesday. The bank will have the ability to counter that statement by next Friday, and then the judge now has fully briefed the motion to dismiss against Bank of America, and we'll wait to see his decision. With respect to Valley Bank, they have that has not been up for argument yet. That is on for October 21st before Judge Sherwood. Similar arguments. There are three principal arguments that the banks make on these motions. One is that the plaintiff, the trustee here, lacks the standing. I just described the authority to bring the claim on behalf of the investors. But as we argued yesterday, both of these claims are brought on behalf of the trustee and the trust as well. So there's no question, certainly in our mind, that there is standing on behalf of the trust to bring these claims against the bank, free and clear of any type of material defenses. And then we have the first part argument is standing. The second argument that they make is that the bank did not have actual knowledge or requirement to hold them liable for aiding and abetting the fraud committed by Salzano and others. And the third is that they did not substantially assist. So those are the three theories that they challenge our ability to go against them. And that is the same argument being made against Valley Bank by Valley Bank to dismiss the case. Again, October 21st, briefing is still ongoing. Deepit Anand has also filed a motion to dismiss. We believe, a very active participant in the fraud in collaboration with Nick Salzano and others. That motion to dismiss is scheduled for November 4th, 2025, and will be argued that day. Briefing is ongoing with that as well. All right, next slide. So again, as to pending litigation, you can see all of this on Omni, and there's the link for it. This has not materially changed from last week or last town hall apologies, but there is continuing litigation against Van Doon, accounting firms Van Doon, Whipley, and Cipolla. They're in different stages as well. Van Doon and Cipolla are both in mediation. Van Doon is more coming up sooner. Mediation is basically a supervised settlement discussion that the parties are almost sequestered for a day or so in order to work with a intermediary to try to resolve the disputes and come to a settlement. That has been successful in several occasions, including with at least certain recoveries we generated last month, in confidential mediations that have generated recoveries. But these we hope will do the same. So again, Van Doon mediation November 4th. Cipolla is being scheduled tentatively now for December 15th or 16th. The claims against Van Doon are more pervasive. They're in the context of aiding and abetting the fraud. Cipolla is more connected to a fraudulent transfer of more than $4 million in funds transferred by the debtors to Cipolla, which is an accounting firm. Whipley, we went to mediation. It failed. And we are now in discovery, meaning no agreement could be reached. So we are going through discovery and straight litigation against Whipley. I've discussed the banks, the law firms. We have confidential mediations ongoing with a prominent Florida firm right now, active mediation. And we just resolved other claims as well against other parties. U.S. Construction, McFillin. They're... I mentioned McFillin. You now know his role in connection with U.S. Construction. We'll have a slide coming up. U.S. Construction is fully settled, as well as against the principals of U.S. Construction, Dustin Salzano and John Farina, and various of their affiliated entities named in that complaint. So that's fully settled as to them. A good settlement for the trust and the beneficiaries, you. Advertisers, MediaEffective, that, as you may recall, we obtained a judgment against MediaEffective for various counts. We didn't win on the aiding and abetting securities fraud. Judge Sherwood denied that count. What happened is we appealed that. That went up to the United States District Court in New Jersey. That appeal is pending, but then the court directed everybody by administratively dismissing the appeal, directed everybody to go talk settlement. And or if that settlement didn't work, to come back to her as to why mediation should not be directed. That's where we are now. Just last week, letters as directed by the court were sent, and the settlement was not successful. We did not have a successful settlement discussion on the aiding and abetting securities fraud count. Remember, we won against MediaEffective and received a $5 million payment from them on all other claims. But we have other claims pending against them. The New Jersey Bureau of Securities is seeking to join in that litigation as an amicus, meaning a friend of the court, to file a brief to explain why they think our position is right. They happen to think that on the issue of whether or not MediaEffective was an agent of NRIA and Salzano in essentially furthering the fraud. So that's what is happening as MediaEffective. There's other advertisers / promoters, Bloomberg and O'Reilly. Again, we are in various stages with those folks. Draft complaints were prepared against both. We have ongoing discussions. As to all defendants we haven't sued yet, we have told the statute of limitations, meaning paused it until December 31st, 2025. So when and if we decide that discussions are not going well enough, we can bring an action against them. There's active mediation, like I mentioned earlier, against DMR and Escaveria. Those are ongoing, or certainly DMR is making progress. Deep in Anon, we've addressed that as a complaint against them with a motion to dismiss argument upcoming. And then we have defensive litigation that continues to evolve around a property in Gutenberg. This is more narrow, relating to environmental work. We are defending that litigation and an active litigation. So nothing really much to say there, except we believe the claims are not with merit. Let's keep going. Next slide. Here's a summary quickly for those who might have missed it last time. It's pretty much the same slide as last time of the settlement, but we did receive with USC. You can see that it says 32 million in claims. That is what is essentially the amount that would have been that USC did not agree to subordinate after our motion to subordinate their joint venture claims. But the true effect of this settlement is they're waiving over $50 million of claims and releasing over $50 million. 32 plus subordinated claims, meaning claims that they, after our motion, agreed to subordinate to your rights. But either way, those are both gone. And they also agreed to pay us a cash payment of over $4 million over time, which would be by roughly December 31st, 2029. But also, earlier than that, if the developments go forward, as part of that negotiation, and one of the investors certainly asked this question in the portal, in terms of the percentages of recoveries against them, we have a share. The trust was given, and you were therefore given a share in the various projects being operated in which USC has an interest, that will generate over the next few years between 40% up to approximately $7 million, 30%, and then up down to 10% as the numbers increase over time. Mm-hmm. So you do have, the trust will have a share in projects that USC is working on. So that's a positive for you folks in terms of generating recoveries. Next slide. All right, so anticipated litigation, like I mentioned, if we don't come to resolution with these folks, some of these folks, many of these actions will be commenced. We're hoping that we do come to resolution because the cost of litigation erodes your recovery. And we'd rather have the recovery sooner rather than later. But these are active. Again, some of the law firm discussion is highly confidential, as are any of the negotiations in mediation with some of these other parties. There's something called the mediation privilege, so we're not allowed to discuss it, but ongoing discussions are happening. So I think that is it, right, Michael? One more. Okay, these are the mediations. This is a summary. Nothing really new here. It's a summary of the actions in mediation. There are some, like I mentioned, that are pre-mediation, but in settlement discussions and or discussions regarding mediation, and such as Bloomberg, and we're hoping that we see that progress. So that's where we are.
Just talk briefly about rest of the DOJ's actions. So we've talked about this in previous town halls. I don't have anything new to report here, but remember that the DOJ's restitution action is separate and apart from what we're doing. We have no association with them. If you have questions about the status of the criminal proceeding or anything related to the sentencing or any restitution, this is the person you should contact. Shirley Stryker, with the victim witness program manager at the at DOJ. Although I don't know if she's working right now given the shutdown, but this is the contact information. Again, this presentation will be posted on the Omni website within a few days, so you don't feel like you have to write this down. You can just grab it once it's up. Or actually, you can go to the presentation from the last time. It has the address in there if you need it. Matthew?
Yeah, thank you. I'll just say in my closing remarks, and then we will turn to the questions and answers that are popping up here in the window, and we'll try to hit them all. But, you know, as the Ice Miller team noted, we're continuing to pursue many of these larger litigations. We're not going into details with respect to some of the specifics on those matters in case folks are listening in or information might be shared, improperly that could negatively impact those litigations. But we do believe that those litigations will give rise to material recoveries. And some of the targets that we have not yet sued, we are in mediation with. Even some that we have sued, we're in mediation with. Mediation is, you know, of course, better because it's less cost, and we're going to continue to pursue mediation to the extent that it's available to us. And we hope that these do lead to recoveries that will result in distributions to you as investors. We have always made a practice of not promising or projecting or predicting what the litigation recoveries will be since this trust the inception of the trust. And the reason for that is, you know, obviously it's impossible to predict what litigation recoveries are with any sort of certainty. Of course, we've had tremendous success with some of the litigations to date, which have resulted in some sizable distributions. And we might have more litigation recoveries in the months ahead that result in distributions. But we are continuing our practice of not promising or projecting that until the money is actually in the door. Rick and his team also gave a helpful update on the real estate. You know, the projects continue to develop. But, you know, folks need to understand, and I think Rick made clear, four of the biggest projects that are left that are projected to be sources of the vast majority of the anticipated distributions from real estate are still just land. You know, we're still in the site exploration stage on several of those projects. They haven't yet been developed, and it will take a long time for them to be developed. So it's going to be a long time before there are distributions made from those projects. I have said before on town halls that we very likely will be making several more distributions from this trust. I continue to stand by that. I think everybody on this side of things from the trust continues to believe that, and we will make that happen. But understand it will take time for that to happen. From the real estate, it could be a lengthy period of time before that happens. I would just encourage people to persevere as these projects get developed. Residential towers do not go up overnight. I think, you know, I heard Rick say that some of these projects might not be completed until 2029 or 2030. So, you know, we're going to continue to develop these, and we're confident that they will lead to large distributions. But, you know, that will not be overnight for that to happen. So I would just respectfully request and urge investors to take that into consideration. That's all I had, but I don't know if we want to go through the questions that have been submitted.
Sure. Let's do that. Mike, are you, okay, no, they're not gonna post them. All right, so let's go through the list that was submitted through the portal. Do you expect to have any new litigations anytime or soon, or would we only have what is in works now? As I mentioned earlier, there are some that are not commenced, but we are discussing with them pre-litigation settlement. In other words, we let the other party know that there are substantial claims by the trust against them, that the settlement is in their best interest as opposed to engaging in litigation with us. And we are in that process with several parties. If there is no progress with those settlement agreements that are satisfactory to the trust, we will commence new litigations, but likely before December 31st, 2025. If that could go past that, if the parties agree to extend the tolling period, but right now we're litigating with many parties, but we're also discussing possible resolution of claims with others. How is the
go ahead. Just to add to that specific question, a number of the parties, just in order to, you know, maintain and maximize the value of the claims, we've talked frankly about the parties that we're going to talk about in terms of litigation or in terms of mediations and discussions. But there are many parties, and you know, we're not going to answer specific questions about any specific party and whether we are pursuing claims against them unless they're currently in litigation with us and publicly.
Right. All right. So how is the garnishment of profits from USC structured, percentage, etc.? The answer is yes, it has. I mentioned there are several projects in which the trust has a declining interest, meaning as the additional funds come in, our percentage declines, but it never goes below 10%. It starts at 40%, and that's over the period of time. Those projects are yet to be developed, so that's a process by which the trust will eventually have potentially recoveries as those projects hopefully develop. It has yielded dollars. We've already received $200,000. We have promised cash not tied to those projects by December 31st, 2029, and payments in the interim every year up to $4 million by December 31st, 2029. And they've all been collateralized. That payment obligation is secured by an account, a lockbox account, where funds are directly put in for the benefit of the trust. So it's a good settlement for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Lewis, you did mention this, but just to be clear, as part of that settlement, there were over $30 million of claims that were dropped, and recognizing the waterfall under the plan, unsecured claims get paid out before investor claims. So that $30 million would have to be paid out or reserved before distributions could be made. $32 million, if I'm not mistaken, went poof, you know, no longer a roadblock. So that was one of the more favorable aspects of that settlement, in addition to cash proceeds coming in and projects over time. So sorry to jump in there.
No, that's good. And that helped enable the last distribution. So that's correct. What is the update on the B of A litigation, Bank of America litigation? I gave that description already. Hopefully this writer was listening, but that is on the judge's desk now, deciding. We had oral argument yesterday for several hours, and we will now wait for the judge. Next is, when is the K-1 being released? I think we already answered that, right, Tommy?
Yes, they've been mailed out and they're available electronically. So send us an email, info@airnmanagement.com, and we can get you an electronic copy as well.
Terrific. Thank you. Next question is, will there be another distribution before the end of the year? I think the liquidation trustee, Representative Matthew Ward, answered that. We do not know and believe that one necessarily will be available this year, but Matthew already answered that. When will we be receiving the next payment? Same question. If we will be getting the money retroactively that was promised by Brian Harrington after the 5-year investment. That answer to that is no. Obviously every effort's being made to make the investors as whole as possible. That does not mean returns. The reason why we're suing Brian Harrington is because of those promises that were made to you, in part in furtherance of the fraud, according to the complaint that's filed. We are going into mediation with these parties, so I'm not going to say much more. But the complaint against Brian Harrington, Cartosian, and many others is on file. You can read it on the docket on Omni. Those allegations, to get as much as we can from these parties and others, is pending. How long will it take for all the real estate to be liquidated? 5 to 10 years? I guess, Rick, I'll give that to you. How long will it take for the real estate to be liquidated?
Sorry. It really depends. Right now, with the things we have under development, it would be about 5 years. But as Matthew said, we have sites in Fort Lauderdale. We have sites in also in
Fort Myers.
Fort Myers that, you know, we don't have development partners yet. We're not sure. So that could be sold within 12 or 18 months, or if it's developed, it could go longer. We just don't know. But rest assured that we don't develop anything unless we think a couple things. One, that we'd be getting a significant internal rate of return on those investments and a multiple of whatever equity we would have to invest. So I think we've mentioned this before. We do extensive modeling projections with third parties, with brokers, with understanding the market the best we can. So it's not just a whim as to whether or not we develop a property or we build a property. And we have to find the right partners and financing, et cetera. So it's a complicated effort. So we know 5 years is on the horizon. If it's something longer than that, I would tell you it would be good news, because we know based upon what the returns would be. Or the returns that we demand. So, sorry, that's a long answer, but that's the...
No, that's good. Thank you. The next question, I think, has already been answered as well. When do we receive the 2024 grantor letters? They've been sent. So I think that's been answered. Would you please give us a guess possible sales value of the real estate we hold? I don't know if we answer that, Rick.
Yeah, I mean... No, we can't really, give that. you have to go through, each site has to be assessed independently. Are you selling it today? Are you selling it if it's partially built? But, you know, I think as Matthew stated before, the value, if you go back to the values in the disclosure statement, which were only real estate, right? It didn't include any of the litigation recoveries, which we've seen a substantial amount. If you just go by the real estate recoveries in the disclosure statement, we will greatly exceed those. I think that's, we're confident about that. And we're happy to stand by that declaration.
Terrific. Just to add to that, to keep in mind that when we're talking about the sales price, the property, the, you know, the price to pay, that doesn't take into account the construction cost, the carrying costs. The kind of headline number of how much it's sold for is not the same thing as how much the trust makes for it. Now, what we're projecting out for is what the trust can make from the project. But the sales price of the project is nice to know, but it really is not directly connected to how much we make from it.
Terrific. All right, next is we moved Omni can't or won't confirm the address on file. Is there someone at the trust to notify?
Yes, same email address, info@airnmanagement.com.
There is no place. The question is there a place on Omni website to get the latest information, such as checks will be sent, delayed, et cetera, and current updates? No, other than listening to past recordings and or copies of any PowerPoints, I believe they're posted, and hopefully they are, of these town halls. And also, of course, the quarterly reports and the reports otherwise filed on the docket, as well as on Omni and other reports that are posted there. That's where that information is. There isn't specifically saying, for example, when checks are sent, etc. That is announced here and or in filings. All right. Those are the written questions as I see it. Let's go to the questions posted in the question and answer area.
Yeah, it looks like some people have been sending questions directly to me. So
okay.
First question I have, which I'm going to defer to Tommy, is I emailed a question about a gain that we supposedly had stated on the grantor's letter. Can you just explain again the difference between the gain and what it comes from and how it's different from the distribution?
Yeah, so one, I'm not sure I've actually seen that question. So if this investor would like to email again, I'm happy to take a look. Again, with the caveat being that we cannot give individual tax advice. Part of what's disclosed in this footnote is that, you know, how this set of transactions with respect to the recovery and settlement proceeds, as well as the cash distributions, how that impacts you is going to be entirely dependent on the historical tax treatments that you've taken based on your, you know, prior set of tax documents and positions with respect to NRIA. And that's something that only your personal tax advisor can answer.
Will you eventually distribute the balance of the funds allotted for settlement? So eventually all the assets of the trust will have to be distributed out. The trust is funding the development of the real estate, funding the litigation. Hopefully we expect to make recoveries on that, but eventually all of the assets of the trust will have to be distributed out. When that's going to happen is again what we've been discussing, but it's going to be some time. When were grantor letters mailed out? They were mailed out basically October 2nd or so, October 1st or 2nd. My investment is held by Forge Trust at my original purchase valuation. Is there any way to get a current valuation we could submit to them? This has substantially affected my IRA, RMD, mandatory redemptions calculation. Please send an email. I haven't dealt with Forge Trust specifically. We did come across this with Madison Trust. And what Madison Trust ultimately agreed to do was to accept the ending balance on the 2022 K-1 as the new valuation. Unfortunately, we cannot provide a valuation of your interest, but the information held on the 2022 K-1 was good enough for Madison Trust. So hopefully that'll be good enough for Forge Trust. But if you'd like to email me, CCing them, I can pass that information along. My email address is on the website, and it will be in the presentation, but it's michael.ott@icemiller.com. When will this all be behind us? Rick is talking about 2028. Well, we've since then started talking about 2030. This is going to take some time in terms of developing these projects. And as Rick said, we aren't pursuing projects we don't expect to make multiples of what we're investing in. And so, you know, even with the time value of money, it's still going to, we still believe these projects will be significantly profitable to the trust. And so it takes some time to develop real estate, and that's what we're doing. As Lewis said, he restated that he can't share confidential info in the event there are people on the call that shouldn't be and can use the info against us. Why can't a call be arranged where we are 100% sure that the audience doesn't include those sorts of people? This way we can hear that information. Well, first off, I don't think we could ever really be 100% sure that the audience doesn't include those people. The time and expense it would take to vet every single person coming in would be difficult. And then on top of that, there are potential privilege waiver issues and other things that could cause trouble. So frankly, even if we could be 100% certain that everybody here was an investor that needed to hear the information, there's just too much risk inherent in it, and we can't do that, unfortunately. I understand the desire to have all this information, but there are limits, unfortunately, on what we can share.
And we also cannot control where information goes once it's shared, even to a private group beyond that group, you know, and once something is disclosed to an investor, what they do with it that could negatively impact the result of a lawsuit for all investors, even unknowingly. So we do post these meetings to the Omni website. So that, you know, that would also be a benefit. I see that there's 78 investors that are on now, whereas we have almost 2,000 investors overall. So I suspect that the 1,900 that are not in attendance today, many of them may like being able to access it publicly on the Omni website to listen to it. So those are just a few other additional reasons.
Matthew, where are we with the RICO process? So RICO is, we pursued a RICO claim against US Construction. I don't believe we are pursuing any other RICO claims at this point. RICO is just a cause of action, like any other cause of action, like any other complaint that you bring. So there's no real special process with RICO separate apart from any other litigation. It is valuable in that it provides, you know, enhanced discovery. It provides, you know, a threat of treble damages and attorney's fees automatically if you succeed on the claim. And so for that, it is very good in providing leverage in litigation. But again, as I've mentioned before, just because you get treble damages in your judgment doesn't mean they have the money to pay you your treble damages. So, you know, U.S. Construction would get a judgment for $1.5 billion, but if they don't have more than $100 million or whatever, you know, $5 million or whatever it is at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter if you get treble damages. Will the slide deck be available for attendees? Yes. So we will be posting the slide deck along with a recording of the town hall to the Omni site within the next few days. And the last 2 or 3 town hall slide decks are also available online. That one. I've missed a good part of today's event for the same reoccurring reasons I mentioned before about the registration link. Ronald, please email me directly after this, and we'll figure out what the heck is happening with your WebEx. I don't know what the problem is. Hopefully, we can track it down. And I believe that is all the questions that I have in my Q&A. I don't know if anybody else received any questions directly.
That's it. That's it. I think that's it in terms of the Q&A. Great. All right. I think that's it, right, Matthew? So I think we're concluded.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. All right. Have a good evening.